There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
And greetings. Welcome to the broadcast today. So good to have you tuned in to Vocation Boom Radio. Where do we start? There's so many things we could talk about to open the broadcast today, and I'm only going to take a couple of minutes here and then bring on my guest, Father Paul McDonnell. He is the Provincial Superior of the Holy Spouses Province of the Oblates of St. Joseph. And we're going to be talking with him about his own vocation, how vocations are going in their particular order. I just want to wish you all a happy and a blessed Easter. And our thanks, as always, to the great folks at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Again, it is just a delight to be with you. And as always, I invite you to visit our website often and encourage the men that you know who might be thinking about the priesthood. Log on to vocationboom.com. There is much more to come on that website. Really looking forward to having our guest on the program today, and we are glad that you are with us. I'm going to be joined by Father Paul McDonnell. As I say, he's the Provincial Superior of the Holy Spouses Province of the Oblates of St. Joseph. He is a native of West Pittston, Pennsylvania, and he received all of his early education in the Wyoming Area School District. He spent 5 years of seminary studies in Italy, completing a year of novitiate in Padua and 4 years in Rome, where he received a bachelor's degree in sacred theology from the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas and a master's degree in pastoral theology from the Pontifical Lateran University. He was ordained in 1991. He has served as vocation director. He's been an assistant pastor and a pastor in parishes. So he's got a lot of priestly experience, and it is with great joy that we welcome Father Paul McDonnell to the broadcast today. Father, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for the invitation. Honored to be with all of you.
Well, it's a blessing to have you with us. And I want to talk about your vocation, because every time we get a priest or seminarian on, of course, that's the main focus of our whole apostolate. But give our listeners a snapshot first of the Oblates of St. Joseph.
Well, our congregation was founded by St. Joseph Morello in the city of Asti, Italy. I'm sure many of our listeners have know Asti Spumante, the famous champagne that oftentimes people enjoy. Sure. In the city of Asti in northwest Italy, St. Joseph Morello founded the congregation. And it was during a time of great religious revival after the suppression by Napoleon and so forth. He was a contemporary of St. John Bosco, so it was kind of during that period where there was a revival of religious life. So there were numerous religious congregations that were growing up at that time in the mid-19th century. So Morello founded the congregation, and then the congregation eventually spread around Italy, and we're now working in 15 different countries throughout the world. And for 85 years, we've been here in the United States, working in Pennsylvania, primarily Diocese of Scranton, and on the West Coast here in dioceses of Sacramento, Los Angeles, Fresno, and Monterey. And just last year, just a little over a year ago, we merged our two separate provinces, East Coast and West Coast, and created one USA province, which we now call the Holy Spouses Province. And I've been asked by our Superior General in Rome to direct and supervise and lead the province, serving as Provincial Superior. So it's been an interesting experience the last year or so, in bringing everyone together and working together as one province, despite the 3,000-mile distance within the province, those working in Pennsylvania and those working in California. But it's been a blessing, and I'm blessed with wonderful men who are serving as Oblates of St. Joseph here in the United States.
Now, you mentioned Sacramento. It was there that I met at least one, maybe a couple of your priests. If you could describe the ministries or the charism, obviously, you know, Dominicans are kind of known for preaching, Franciscans mm-hmm. working with the poor, Jesuits kind of in the academic world. Mm-hmm. Where would you situate the Oblates of St. Joseph?
Yes, yeah, we're primarily priests and brothers working in parish ministry. We do help the local clergy in whatever way that we can, with substitution and helping with confessions and celebration of masses and preaching retreats and missions. But most of the time we have parishes that are entrusted to our pastoral care. You had mentioned Sacramento. In that diocese we have the parish of St. Joseph Morello, named after our founder, in the town of Granite Bay, which is near the Roseville-Rockland area, about a half hour outside of Sacramento. And I was proud to serve there as an administrator for 6 months before being named as provincial. So, you know, primarily throughout the world, and especially here in the United States, we are priests in parish ministry. We also do extensively youth ministry as well. And our founder also wanted us to propagate devotion to St. Joseph, because we are a congregation under the patronage and the protection of St. Joseph. So we try to promote that as best as we can through theological materials, devotional materials, various different pious practices and novenas and feasts and so forth. So we try to cultivate that devotion among the laity.
Well, I'm blessed to say that my middle name is Joseph, and I have a great devotion to him. Kind of a little off the subject for a second, but how would you, you know, encourage us to develop a devotion to St. Joseph? Because obviously, you know, he kind of gets lost in all of the spiritual shuffle, if you will.
Right, right. Because he's kind of in the background to some degree in the Gospels. And there's no recorded words of Joseph in the Gospels. There's reference to him and, of course, his important role in the messianic mission of Jesus and, you know, Jesus coming from the lineage of David and so forth. So St. Joseph we see as a very important role model, both as husband and father. And that's why another devotion that we are promoting as Oblates of St. Joseph is the Holy Spouses. Because we need to see Joseph in his role as a husband. Now more than ever, we need to see that. We need to recognize it. His love, his devotion, his care, his trust in Mary. And together they journey in faith, as they are, you know, as they welcome the Christ child, into their family. And Joseph becomes the patron and the guardian, if you will, of the Redeemer. That's great. Apostolic exhortation by St. John Paul II, issued that apostolic exhortation, Redemptoris Christus, in August of 1989, which explains beautifully the role and the mission of St. Joseph in the Holy Family as well as in the Church. And that's why he was proclaimed by Pius IX to be the protector of the universal Church, because he took care of the interests of Jesus. And that's why our founder, St. Joseph Morello, appointed us in the direction of Joseph, who was a man of deep prayer, a man of obedience, a man of great love for God. And therefore, we're, all of us are called to carry out our mission as Christians, and especially those of us as consecrated religious and ordained priests. We are called to live our vocation with complete submission, hence the word oblate. That's why it's used in the name of our congregation, a complete and total offering of oneself in the imitation of St. Joseph, doing it in a silent, humble, hidden way. And Joseph shows us the way, how to do that. So that's why we try to point to St. Joseph and use him as that model of sanctity, and now more than ever, that role model that's needed in marriage and in the family, because we're missing very much so the image, the proper image of a husband today and a father. And St. Joseph is the one to kind of show us how that's to be done.
Beautiful. Father Paul McDonald with us here on Vocation Boom Radio. He is the Provincial Superior of the Holy Spouses Province of the Oblates of St. Joseph, which encompasses the entire United States, as he was telling us. And Father, when you were young, did you think about priesthood at a real young age? Did you have role models? You know, at what point in your life would you say that the priesthood kind of came onto your radar screen as a really viable option for you?
Yeah, I would have to say it was right around First Holy Communion. I remember as far back as I could remember as a little boy, my family home, is directly across the street from our parish church, directly across the street. So you literally walk out the door across the street and you are at the front door of the church. So, I grew up with two older brothers. We were three boys and we were all altar boys at the time in that particular parish in Exeter, Pennsylvania, St. Anthony of Padua Parish, was under the administration of the Oblates of St. Joseph. So those were the only priests that I knew. I didn't know as a young man the difference between diocesan priesthood and religious life and so forth, but grew up side by side with the Oblates of St. Joseph. So as a very young boy, probably third grade, fourth grade, I was involved as an altar boy, and my parents were, of course, involved in the parish, and my brothers, and the parish was really our second home. Often the priest would come over and visit my mom and dad and enjoy a game of cards or a meal or something, and that was always a big event when the fathers would come across the street and visit us. And that had a profound impact on me. I was very blessed with wonderful parents who are still with me to this day, still alive, and very, very prayerful people, and I'm grateful for their major influence in my life and helping to promote my vocation and encouraging it. But also the priests and the one religious brother that was stationed at my home parish. And they really taught me more by example than by words. They never really talked that much to me about a possible vocation, but they spoke to me daily by their words, by their dedication, by their constant presence in the parish. You know, these men never took vacations, they were just always there. And being an altar boy, and of course, naturally, the calling from God, which is where it all starts, that seed that was planted by Almighty God was definitely nurtured and fertilized by the wonderful example that I had. And of course, that continued all through my middle school years and high school years. And upon graduating high school, a month later, I was in the seminary for the Oblates of St. Joseph in July of 1982. And 9 years later, in August of 1991, I was ordained a priest. And, of course, naturally, perpetually professed within the congregation. And it'll be 23 years this coming August that I'm an ordained priest. And it's been a wonderful journey. And God has blessed me much, much more than I deserve. God's goodness is so bountiful. But it's been a true privilege to serve the Lord as an Oblate of St. Joseph and in various different capacities within the congregation, both on the East Coast and now on the West Coast.
Well, Father, for our listeners, many of them know that my primary work is traveling the country hosting Catholic Radio Pledge Drive. Were you hesitant? Was it difficult for you to, when you had this stirring in your heart, to then make that step and contact the archdiocese? And they both said it was, it took a little bit of courage for them to do that. I'm wondering, when you were at that stage in the process, what was that like for you? Was that a fairly easy thing for you to do, or were you hesitant? Were you afraid of what that might lead to?
I think one thing that helped me was the seminary was very close to my home and to my parish church. It was literally a 10-minute drive. So already when I was in high school, I would go up quite often to visit and, to stay overnight and, visit the fathers and brothers. So I kind of gradually kind of worked my way in, and of course the priests that were there were very welcoming and, they wanted me to help out whenever, we could, sometimes with manual labor or there was an event going on that maybe they needed some help. So it was kind of like gradually walking into the pool, rather than just jumping all of a sudden in. So it was a nice transition. So while I was in high school, I would visit the seminary quite often on weekdays and weekends. And then, of course, when the time came to actually officially enter, then it was kind of a rather smooth transition. There was a little bit of an adjustment for a 17-year-old young man. But for the most part, it worked pretty well. But things were different. I think, the process today is much more formal. There's all kind of, psychological testing and all this type of stuff that that is required, and I think it's a good thing as well, you know, but I think just life was a little bit simpler over 30 years ago, and, you know, you went in and, you know, you gave the basic information and you threw yourself into it, and, you know, you started working your way through the seminary formation program, and before you know it, the years unfolded, and there you were at the altar, you know, being ordained. You know,
voila.
So, something is to be said about, you know, the simplicity. You know, not that things were overlooked or things were, you know, negligent, but there was a simplicity to things, and, you know, people didn't have to worry because I was under 18 and I was a minor, and, you know, those types of things. It was just, again, it was just a different world. But
Father
the proper steps were taken, you know, for my application, of course, and being accepted, but that also had a profound help for me in adjusting to seminary.
Sorry about that, Father. Father Paul mm-hmm. McDonald with us here on Vocation Boom Radio, Provincial Superior for the Holy Spouses Province, the Oblates of St. Joseph. I'm Jerry Usher, your host. This is Vocation Boom Radio. We got a break in about 3 minutes and a lot more that we're going to talk about with Father Paul McDonald. Again, if you you guys have a website, Father, and I've been on there. Give our listeners the website where they can find information about your order.
Yes, our new website, because of our new province, is www.osjusa.org. OSJ, meaning Oblates of St. Joseph, USA.org.
Couldn't be much easier than that.
Please visit us on our website, and we're also on Facebook page as well, too, and you can look us up there as well. And we also have a new national magazine, Custos, a Latin word for guardian, in reference to St. Joseph being mm-hmm. the Redemptoris Custos, the guardian of the Redeemer. If anyone is interested in getting a free copy of our publication that's printed 4 times a year, winter, spring, summer, fall, you could write to me at 544 Westcliff Drive, Santa Cruz, California, 95060. 544 Westcliff Drive, Santa Cruz, California, 95060.
Very good. Well, you know, and Father, not that it's been that long since you answered the call and went through formation and were ordained, but things have changed, really, things are changing rapidly all the time, and mm-hmm. I'd be curious to know what your perspective is on the state of young people today and where they are. We have a lot of course, challenges, the breakdown of the family to a large extent, and just many of the allurements and temptations and other things that can kind of distract and take our young people off the course that God might have planned for them. Mm-hmm. What do you see out there as you, you examine young people today? You said your order works with youth. Are they having difficulty hearing God's call, or do you think we're doing okay in that area?
Well, I think our young people are living in a very distracted world because of all the advances in technology and and all the social media and so forth. So, you know, as you look at our young people, they're constantly looking down at their phones and their iPads and iPods and all of their different gadgets. In fact, I had a young man walk into me by accident the other day as I was walking into a restaurant, and he was so engrossed in his phone there that was in front of him. So that's kind of the challenge that we're faced with today. But that whole world of media and technology does not fill the vacancy in the hearts and minds of our young people. Because I also see a part of them where they're looking for meaning. They're looking for direction. They're looking for focus in their lives. Here at our shrine in Santa Cruz, California, we have a lot of young people who come down from the college, University of California at Santa Cruz. And it's amazing. These young people, they're open to inspiration. They're open to listening to God. Some of them make amazing confessions as they open their heart to God's love and mercy. And that's powerful. So the need is there, the hunger is there, and we as religious and as priests and dedicated laity, we need to be there to quench their thirst, to fill their hunger, so that they could come to know God. And that's why this is something I've been telling my brothers and priests that are in my province, that we as Oblates of St. Joseph, we have a golden opportunity to really reach our young people, because whether they're trying to fill the void with immoral behavior or alcohol or drugs or technological, you know, innovations. Nothing will be able to fill them unless they have Christ in their lives. And we need to be patient and working with them, but we also need to be present. And I kind of like this new form of ministry, which they're now calling today ministry of presence. Just being there, available for our young people. Our young people want to talk. You know, they're not getting it through texting. They're not getting it through emails and, you know, Instagram and all these other things that are out there. They're looking for heart-to-heart, person-to-person, face-to-face conversations. And if we're there and we're present, little by little, they will start coming back, and they will come to experience the love and the power of Christ. And we as the church, we need to be there for them. You know, I know in recent, you know, because of the recent scandals over the past 10 years or so, you know, there's been this general approach of kind of arm's length. You know, we need to protect ourselves. We need to be careful. Naturally, we do. However, that's not an excuse to shut out our young people. We need to be available to them, naturally taking the proper steps of prudence and so forth. But we need to be there. We need to be available for them for their retreats and for adoration, Eucharistic adoration. It's amazing. We've had a couple of retreats over the past few weeks for high school and college age young people, and their response to it was amazing because their spiritual tank is on empty, and they've come to have an experience with Christ, and they left here refreshed and renewed because they spent time together. They shut their phones off. They didn't need that medium to stay superficially connected. They're looking for something higher. They're looking for something more profound. And we need to provide that for them. And that's something we as Oblates of St. Joseph, we're trying to do in our parishes, in our seminaries, in our youth centers, with our vocation directors. We're trying to be there especially for our young people, for all people, but especially our young, because although they may be distracted and although they might be called to a different direction and they might be, you know, kind of lured away from the life of Christ, deep down there is a desire. Deep down there is a need for them to grow in Christ. And we need to bring them Christ. We need to give them Christ. And that's a privilege to do that. That's not a duty or an obligation.
Yeah, it seems like St. Augustine may have been right about 16 centuries ago,
right?
When he said, "Our hearts are restless."
Yeah. And I thought of that actually when I was talking.
isn't that funny?
I thought
the same thing. And you know, it's just young people and people of all ages, really. I mean, Father, this is not unique to young people. I mean, there are adults who are, you know, restless in their hearts, right? And they don't know what it is. We don't know what we're looking for. We know we want something. And really, it is that interpersonal connection, because with our God, it's an interpersonal relationship as well.
Sure.
And we experience that through each other. We got to get to a break here, Father. Paul McDonald with us here on Vocation Boom Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the order and some of the things that they're doing, how vocations are going. And of course, we're still in the 50 days of Easter. And thank you all for listening to Vocation Boom Radio. I am your host, Jerry Usher. I will continue my conversation with Father Paul McDonald when we continue here in just a minute.
Promoting priestly vocations around the world. This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is available to come to your next event.
It's you! That's where they encounter Jesus Christ, in you! That's where they learn to fall in love with Jesus, through you!
Deacon Harold is ready to inspire you and to motivate you to have a greater faith in God and living the life of the church.
What is the Goliath that has you so scared that you can't take your faith to the next level? Why is your prayer life just stuck? You can't take anything to that next level because there's something holding you back.
Be on fire for your Catholic faith. Invite Deacon Harold to your parish conference or retreat.
Jesus says, in order to be my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow me.
Book Deacon Harold today through his website, deaconharold.com, by contacting thirdmillenniummedia.com, or by calling 541-212-8616 today.
Do you have a son who's been exhibiting signs that he might be thinking about the priesthood? Or do you know a young man whom you'd like to encourage in that direction? Make your first piece of advice to point him to VocationBoom.com. VocationBoom.com is the official website of Vocation Boom, the multimedia initiative that's helping young men around the world discover and embrace their call to the priesthood. The site is designed specifically to provide an abundance of faithful resources not only to men considering the priesthood, but also to those who want to support those whom God is calling. VocationBoom.com is connected to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, has an audio and video gallery, a blog by founder Jerry Usher, and tons of great resources to help the young men you know make an informed decision about their future. Won't you tell all the young men you know about VocationBoom.com? Start today, and that might be just the thing they need to give serious consideration to becoming priests. That's VocationBoom.com.
Enjoy a freshly roasted cup of coffee from your friends at Vocation Boom to help support our efforts to foster vocations to the priesthood. We're offering morning lauds, a delicious breakfast roast, evening vespers Italian dark roast, and discernment Brazilian decaf. All grown on a sixth-generation Catholic family farm in Brazil, utilizing all of the industry standards for sustainability and ethics, and prepared using innovative state-of-the-art roasting techniques. Place your order for Vocation Brew and support your diocese and parish by joining us in helping build a culture of priestly vocations. Log on to VocationBoom.com to learn more. That's VocationBoom.com.
Thousands of people already use the searchable Faith Database CD-ROM to learn and live their Catholic faith. It has more than 10 different Bible translations, writings of the fathers and doctors of the church, over 1,500 full-length books by authors like Aquinas, Newman, and Chesterton, papal writings and council documents, Bible art and maps, and more. More information is available at faithdatabase.com. That's faithdatabase.com.
Vocations are booming. Here's Jerry Usher, founder of Vocation Boom.
St. John Vianney said that if we were to understand the incredible gift of the priesthood on earth, we would die, not of fear, but of love. Do you feel that way about our priests? Do you view the priesthood as important enough to warrant your prayers and sacrifices to see that more and more men answer the call to holy orders? God is still calling men to serve the church as priests, but there are countless forces, both natural and supernatural, working against men hearing and answering that call. It's up to each one of us to do all we can to remove those barriers, whether through prayer or by our efforts to cultivate holy vocations to the priesthood. If you know a young man who might have a vocation, do him a favor and tell him about VocationBoom.com today.
Log on to VocationBoom.com today. That's VocationBoom.com.
I am a good listener.
Yo puedo hablar dos idiomas.
I'm able to speak two languages.
I am able to see the goodness in everyone.
I am very funny. I'm serious.
I am praying for my brother.
I am an avid reader.
I am reading the Bible again. I mean, really reading it.
I am true to myself.
A true friend.
True to my word.
I am answering God's calling.
Good to have you along today on Vocation Boom Radio. Again, our website is vocationboom.com. We got a lot of resources on there for the inquisitive young mind, the discerning young mind and heart. And we also have some things on there, including prayers for families and parents. For those of us who support vocations to the priesthood, maybe aren't personally on that path, but we want to support those who are. So certainly encourage you to check out our website, vocationboom.com. And as always, if you know a young man or a not so young man who might have, you think, a possible priestly vocation, our humble opinion is it might be a place for him to at least get some inspiration and encouragement and motivation. Today on the broadcast, Father Paul McDonald is with me. He is the Provincial Superior for the Holy Spouses Province of the Oblates of St. Joseph. And Father, a little bit more about your order.
We're a small religious congregation, Jerry. We number about 600 worldwide. Some of our biggest provinces, number-wise, would be the Philippines, India, Nigeria, Peru, Brazil. They would be the most numerous of our men in those provinces. We are hurting with vocations in Italy, Poland, here in the United States. Bolivia, we've had some challenges there as well. But we've had some new openings as well. We just opened in El Salvador. And in about 2 weeks, we'll be opening in Mozambique. So we have some new opportunities, to grow as well, too. Here in the United States, it's been a struggle. One of my first appointments as the new provincial was to create the position of two positions of vocation directors, one for the East Coast and one for the West Coast. The one of our vocation directors was ordained in June of 2013. And before that was the ordination of another one of our men in June of 2012. So the one is the West Coast Vocation Director, and the other is the East Coast Vocation Director. And they're doing a fabulous job in getting to the colleges, getting to Steubenville, to Ave Maria University in Florida. They've been to numerous colleges and schools, speaking to our young people. They've been conducting vocation retreats. In fact, we just had one here in the middle of March here in Santa Cruz. So they're working hard, and at the same time they do have other responsibilities as well. But we have never been a large number religious congregation. We've always kind of been limited in numbers, but we try to live and work in the shadow of St. Joseph, which was never the big splash in the pool because there are those much larger congregations that are out there and very well known. And oftentimes we do stumble upon the situation where people's oblates who, or they may confuse us with oblates of the Virgin Mary, or oblates of the Mary Immaculate, or oblates of St. Francis de Sales. But we are the oblates of St. Joseph, and doing God's work in a very small portion of his vineyard, but we're trying to do it faithfully, and we're trying to do it lovingly in service to Christ and his people. So.
Well, and Father, you know, obviously, any vocational calling in the church requires, a good deal of humility. And would you say that maybe, and I could be wrong about this, but, you know, following in the footsteps of St. Joseph, does this provide you with a chance to obviously do very important and impacting work, and yet at the same time sort of retreat into obscurity at the same time?
Yes, I mean, I think the important key is that we're working for Christ. We're not working for our own notoriety. We're not working to boost our own personal projects. But we're working for Christ, and we seek to do that as best as we could, as faithfully as we could. So it's not so much, Father so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, but it's really, you know, leading like John the Baptizer did, pointing everyone to Christ. And in using St. Joseph as our model and guide in doing that. So it's not about puffing up our own egos and, look how great, a particular priest or brother is in the congregation. But we want people to remember Christ. We want them to remember St. Joseph and our founder, St. Joseph Morello. It's regardless whether or not they remember us personally, but all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the attention is to be given to Christ. So that's, I think, what it means to work in the shadow of St. Joseph. It doesn't mean to hide and be indifferent and, push ourselves away from responsibility or work.
Right.
No, to work hard, to work diligently, as he provided for the Holy Family, but to do it in obscurity, kind of in the background. And I think our founder, St. Joseph Morello, knew that when he founded this congregation. And here we are 136 years later, and the congregation is continuing to serve kind of in a hidden way, kind of in the background. So you know, we may not be known by the other religious orders that are much popular and so forth, but we're seeking to do it with limited resources and in our parishes and in our seminaries and in our youth centers. But it's not about being known by the world. It's about being known by Christ, and he therefore, you know, transmits our charism into the hearts and lives of others.
Well, you mentioned, Father, that your vocation directors, both of whom I think it's fantastic that they're young, fairly recently ordained priests, because I think young guys can really connect with them. But you mentioned they're going out, you know, to university and college campuses and to events and conferences and gatherings where the young men are. And, you know, talk about the importance of that, because you can't, you know, an order or a diocese cannot just, you know, sit back and wait for the doorbell to ring. You know, these guys, you know, some of them are going to, you know, really have that zeal and that certainty about their call and maybe make the first approach. But we've got to be going out to where these young people are, and that includes, obviously, a healthy use of media, social media, technology, and all of these things. But talk about the need to go out and, like you said, be where the young people are today.
Well, exactly. And I think Pope Francis has been encouraging us, you know, in doing that. Our own Superior General, who's head of the order based out of Rome, he's especially encouraging us, echoing the words of Pope Francis. You know, we need to get out of our sacristies. We need to get out of our comfortable little houses and so forth. And we need to be there with the youth. You know, we need to engage them. We need to be in the town square. We need to be at places where we could interact with them, whether it's sporting events or social events or whatever. And again, that ministry of presence. And you'd be surprised just being present how these kids spontaneously come up to you and start asking you questions about various different issues, moral issues, spiritual issues. They begin to open their hearts. Recently we've had numerous retreats and to have the privilege of hearing their confessions where they just open themselves up completely. And it's nothing for these young people to go to confession for a half hour. And many of them move to tears. And it's a powerful spiritual movement, you know, that is really going on. And it's really an epiphany for them. And it brings them back to Christ. So we need to be where they're at. You know, they're not just going to kind of naturally come on their own because they're timid, you know, to some degree. Maybe they're a little scared and maybe afraid they're going to be yelled at or something. But we need to approach them and bring Christ to them. And that's why it's so important that we are connected, you know, to them.
Vocation Boom Radio, my guest, Father Paul McDonald. He is the Provincial Superior for the Holy Spouses Province of the Oblates of St. Joseph. Again, you'll find them at osjusa.com, Father?
.org.
.org.
osjusa.org.
Yeah, very easy website to remember. You know, and one of the things that I'm experiencing, and I presume you are too, you know, you mentioned that your order may not be the biggest in terms of number, and it's not just a numbers game, you know, because, you know, God, you give God a handful of holy, zealous priests, he can accomplish amazing things. Talk about the types of men that you're seeing come to you today, and what I'm seeing around the country, Father, these guys are, they're healthy, they're wholesome, they're passionate, they have a sense of purpose, but they're not stuffy and staid and stoic and all this stuff. They really have a zest for life as well. I'm seeing a very high degree of character and virtue in these guys.
Yes, yes. And actually, some of our recent vocations, these have been men that have had their stories. You know, they've kind of had their past histories, and you know, so they know what it is to kind of be there. They know what it is to be lost. And when they share their vocation stories, it's very very inspirational. And they talk about, you know, they dabbled in the world. You know, they were included among those who were, you know, kind of, you know, the typical young people looking for joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in the world, and they didn't find it. And you know, so their stories are very inspiring. So it wasn't kind of, you know, kind of like mine, where I was into the little kid across the street at 10 years old who wanted to be a priest. You know, they were involved in college life and not exactly under the best of circumstances and so forth. But eventually they found their way to God, and they gave their lives completely to God through being a consecrated religious and priest. So I love their stories, and that's why they're making great vocation directors for our congregation, these two men, Father Perez and Father Scherer, because, you know, they tell their stories, and kids could relate to that. They know what it is to be lost. They know what it is to be searching. And I think the connection that they make with the young people is very, very helpful and useful, and it's a wonderful way to kind of bring these young people to say, hey, there's still hope. You know, maybe you went off track. Maybe you did some things that you regret or that maybe you're ashamed of or whatever, but that's okay. God does not give up on us. God continues to call, you know, very much like Peter who throws himself at the feet of Jesus and says, leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus doesn't walk away. Jesus doesn't say, yeah, Peter, you're right. I guess I got the wrong guy. No, he says, in fact, not only does he not walk away, he says, no, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Not only am I just going to turn my back on you, I need you. I need you. So Jesus knows that we're sinners. He knows our histories. He knows our past. But he's inviting us to say, come follow me. Do my work. And our young people need to know that they have another chance at this. No matter what they've done, no matter what their history is, God continues the call. But the important thing is that they hear it, they listen, and they respond. And hopefully our vocation ministry, at least for the Oblates of St. Joseph here in the United States, is we can help our young people to discern God's call. And maybe their call is to marriage. Maybe it is to the single life. Maybe it's to another religious congregation or to a diocesan priesthood. That's okay, because our job is to get them to understand what God's will is for them, not our will, not our desires, but is to get them to understand what God wants for them. Mm. And if we could help a young man or a young woman come to that conclusion or come to that conviction of what God wants of them and they follow that path, to us that's a successful vocation story. Whether they enter the Oblates of St. Joseph or not, that's secondary. But to help a young person discover what God wants of them, that's a successful vocation story for us.
Fantastic. We're going to continue our conversation with Father Paul McDonald in just a couple of minutes. We'll get our second short break here on Vocation Boom Radio taken care of right now. When we come back, a lot more that we want to talk about, but I want to get into Vocation Boom Radio. We'll continue here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network in just a moment.
Invite a powerful and dynamic Catholic speaker to your parish, conference, or retreat.
I am God's son. I belong to the Father. He loves me. He has empowered me. And whatever challenge I face, I'm going to overcome. That's masculine genius. But let me ask you a question. What is your plan? What is your plan for achieving holiness? Your mission is in heaven. What's your plan?
Be introduced to Joe McClain.
How are you going to achieve a state of grace today? How often do you get to the confessional? Do you try to take in an extra mass during the week? Do you examine your conscience every single night? I know a lot of people, saints, who get to heaven because they laid it all on the line and gave 110%. What is your plan?
Book Joe McClain today by contacting Third Millennium Media at thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Discerning coffee drinkers, enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and increase vocations to the priesthood at the same time. If that sounds like just your type of unbeatable combination, then you'll love Sipping Vocation Brew, available in three terrific blends. Morning Lauds, a medium breakfast roast. Evening Vespers, dark Italian roast. And Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nossa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for six generations on a family farm in Brazil. By purchasing Vocation Brew, you'll enjoy freshly roasted coffee and help build a culture of priestly vocations. All of the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage young men to say yes to God's call to the priesthood. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
We all know a lot of priests, and most of us know at least one seminarian. If there's a way we can support them, it's to help them better know the faith they're called by God to teach the rest of us. Many priests and seminarians already use the Faith Database, the searchable CD-ROM that you load right onto your computer. Learn more about the Faith Database at faithdatabase.com. It contains more than 10 Bible translations, over 1,500 full-length books by authors such as Aquinas, Newman, and Chesterton, writings from the fathers and doctors of the church, 2,000 years of church council documents and papal writings, Bible art and maps, and much more. You can either read and study an entire volume or use the search feature to enter a word or phrase, and instantly dozens or hundreds of results pop up that have to do with a topic you're interested in. Learn how you can get a copy for yourself or for the priest or seminarian in your life by logging on to faithdatabase.com.
Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel that he wants us to pray that God will send more laborers for the harvest. It's souls that are waiting to be harvested. That implies that God is waiting for our prayers and is eager and ready to give the church more holy priests. From this passage, it seems, on one level anyway, that an increase in vocations is dependent upon us and how fervently we ask God to provide us with more priests. You don't have to do anything lengthy or formal. Just make a point each day of lifting your heart and mind to God in supplication for more priestly vocations. After all, he told us to. Can we possibly imagine he won't answer? You may wonder what you can do to help bring about an increase in vocations to the priesthood. Want to know an easy place to start? How about praying? More is accomplished by prayer than by any other means, because our God is a God who is anxious to answer our requests, especially those that are aligned with His most holy will. What could be more perfectly in tune with the will of God than that the church have enough priests to bring souls to salvation? The next time you find yourself wishing we had more priests, do something about it. Prayer. It's the one thing we can all do for priestly vocations. Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
Grow in holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
So, you've answered God's call. Now, it's time to have your call forwarded. Support, encouragement, and inspiration for those called to the priesthood.
Very nice to have you tuned in today to Vocation Boom Radio. I am your host, Jerry Usher, and that last little announcement that we heard there reminded me to point you to our prayer campaign on our website. Log on to vocationboom.com. Up at the top, you've got all the different tabs, the listen, the watch, all of the different tabs there. And the one that says pray, if you hover over that, you'll see several options. One is a parent's prayer for vocations. One is a prayer to the Holy Family for vocations. And the top one on there, it says prayer campaign. And if you click on that, we have every day of the week listed and every hour of each of those days. And we'd love to have you sign up to commit to praying during one of those hours. And as the spot we heard said, it doesn't have to be the whole hour. It doesn't have to be an hour of adoration. It can be a rosary. It can be an hour of adoration. It can be your Mass intention that day. It can be one Our Father, one Hail Mary. It can be simply God, please give us more priests. But we want to try and cover all the hours of the week with somebody praying, and we've got about 80% of the hours covered. So if you log on there, even if you see the hours are listed in black, but if they're in blue, that means someone has signed up for those. You can still go ahead and sign up for an hour that's already taken, but we would like to fill those other hours. And like I say, about 80% of the hours are taken. And the intentions really are two. One, of course, is for an increase in vocations to the priesthood. And the other intention, we'd ask you to pray for the work of Vocation Boom. It's very simple. Whatever you want to do during your particular hour, please log on to vocationboom.com and become one of our prayer partners. You can join people like Sister Marita in Nebraska, who signed up, Monica in Columbus, Ohio, Donna in Akron, Ohio, Wendy in Green Bay, Catherine in Cincinnati, Dory in Reno, Nevada. We got people all over the country praying for vocations and for our work here at Vocation Boom. So we thank you very much for that. Continuing along with Father Paul McDonald, we've got about 6 or 7 minutes left in the broadcast. It goes so fast. Father, I can't imagine as a priest that there is any more special time of the year.
Yes, exactly, Jerry. It, for me personally, and I'm sure for most priests, if not all of them, it's the most intense time and the most beautiful time to serve God's people as a priest. It's just an amazing, amazing time. For me, I enjoy hearing confessions during that period. There are people that are away from the church for many, many years. And I think it's important once again to be available to them. I know it's a hectic time of the year and it's a busy time, but that's what we're called to be priests for, is to serve God's people. So we have to be very careful that we don't shield ourselves and overprotect ourselves. We need to be there for the people. We need to make ourselves available, especially when it comes to the sacrament of confession. So to me, that's kind of the Super Bowl of the whole year.
Yeah.
is you know, the Triduum. And I know it's exhausting, but it's a good tired. It's a good fatigue, because you've served God's people. You've brought the risen Lord to them, and hopefully God has changed lives, you know, through our ministries. You know, we are those broken vessels, those sinful apostles of our Lord, but the Lord works through us, you know, and hopefully through the Triduum, people are, you know, they're brought back. They're brought back to God and to the sacramental life of the church.
The priesthood is about nothing if it's not about mercy. I mean, it's the extension of the mercy of the crucified and risen Christ.
How the Lord is inviting us to share in his cross, but that even in our suffering, even in our sinfulness, the Lord is there so that we can bathe in his mercy. Our focus is not on our sinfulness. That's what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to focus on our sinfulness. The Lord wants us to focus on hope. He wants us to focus on his mercy and his forgiveness, so that as we are forgiven, we are empowered by his grace, and therefore transformed and renewed to become the apostles of today. So that peace, that first Easter peace that he gave to his apostles, he brings to us through his mercy and through his forgiveness. And we need to be tuned into that. We need to be plugged into that. Because if we know that we are forgiven, it is then that we know that despite our human sinfulness and our human weaknesses, God needs us. God wants us. God is calling us to do his work, especially when you put that within the framework of a call to religious life or priesthood. So there's the universal call to holiness for all of us as good laity, but in a particular way, as consecrated religious and priests, that calling is even more intense. So as we are mindful of our sinfulness, we're also mindful of God's mercy, which trumps any sin that we may have committed. And that's what we celebrate. And it's that Easter joy, that Easter peace that comes with God's forgiveness and love, that we are able to do his work in the world of today.
Father Paul, the hour passed way too quickly. It's
way
just been
fast.
A joy to have you with us. Once again, give the Oblates of St. Joseph website out for our listeners who want to learn more.
Yes, again, we're www.osjusa.org. Easy to remember.
All right. Many blessings to you in this glorious Easter season, and please give our regards to all of your the men in your community, and please know of our prayers for you. I know our listeners are very, they're prayer warriors, Father. Anytime we ask them to pray for something, they're already doing it. So
thank you.
Thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry, and blessings to you and to Vocation Boom Radio.
Yeah, please keep
thank
us
you
in your
for
prayers.
The invitation.
Father Paul McDonald, again, their website, osjusa.org. You will find a lot of information there. We will have a link to their website on ours here very soon. In fact, we've got links to all the dioceses and archdioceses across the United States, soon to be, hopefully, other places around the world. And we're constantly ramping up the number of religious orders that we have information and websites for as well on vocationboom.com. I'm Jerry Usher. I want to thank you for listening to the program today.